This is The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk to researchers and innovators about how to better feed the world. Thanks for joining me for another episode of The Food Fix. I'm your host, Taylor Holterman, and I'm back in my bedroom recording studio in the United States. If you missed the last few episodes, I've been studying environmental communication in Europe and recording weekly episodes from under hotel bed comforters for better acoustics. It feels good to be back at a desk. But we won't be in that setting for long because this episode is my very first in-person interview for The Food Fix. I recorded it last week at Wageningen University in the Netherlands, one of the top-ranked universities in the world and top of the world in agriculture and forestry. Typically, I'm hundreds or thousands of miles away from my guests, but this time I sat down across from Els van de Zande in a conference-style room filled with a big white table and far more chairs than we needed. Els is a PhD student at the university in the Department of Plant Sciences Laboratory of Entomology. That's the study of insects. I was a little worried my in-person interview skills would be rusty because I haven't done it much since the start of the pandemic, but after my slightly awkward mic test broke the ice,
testing, 1, 2,
we jumped into discussing the paper she co-authored so easily that we forgot the mic was there. Maybe that's because we both think insects are super cool. Her paper talks about using waste from insect production, that means insects used for food and feed, to create sustainable crops by promoting plant growth, health, pollination, and resilience. It was published in the journal Trends in Plant Science. Now that you can picture the scene, let's jump into the interview and find out what the heck waste from insect production is from Els.
Yeah, so the insect residual streams, like we often call them, but waste is also fine, is kind of a two-part. You have the frass, which is the feces of the insects combined with leftover feed. And you have the exuviae, which are the insect's skins, because insects have an exoskeleton. So when they grow, they have to shed this exoskeleton. It's like a skin that's really tough, so it doesn't grow with them. So if every time they shed the skin, and you can also collect these skins as a stream to do something with.
And what makes it so beneficial for fertilizing crops?
Yeah, so at one part, of course, you have the nutrients, just like with using manure as a fertilizer, which contains a lot of nutrients. Also, the feces and the leftover feed in the skins contain a lot of nutrients, which you can use to let the plants grow better. But then also, especially the skins, contain a compound called chitin, which is responsible for the structure inside the skins. It's a bit like the steelwork does in concrete when you're building with concrete. And this chitin can be degraded by beneficial microbes. And these microbes live in the soil. And when they degrade this chitin, they become more abundant in the soil. And they are beneficial for the plant in making the nutrients in the soil more available, but also in producing growth hormones and getting the interaction with the plant that's beneficial as well.
One of the things mentioned in the paper is that using this waste can actually attract insects like pollinators and suppress pests. That really surprised me. How does that happen?
Yeah, so in attracting the pollinators is mainly because the plants grow bigger when we put these residual streams in the soil. And they also produce more flowers, which is, of course, more attractive for the pollinators. But they also produce a more attractive smell, which recruits even more pollinators. For the better defense against pests, it's a bit more complicated. It's quite a long interaction chain. So we have these residual streams in the soil, which is degraded by the microbes that I already mentioned. These microbes get an interaction with the plant roots. And in this interaction, they kind of warn the plant for upcoming attacks. So it's a bit like someone telling you, hey, there's a tiger in the forest. And then you're like, oh, I have to stay on the lookout and be sharp to recognize the tiger when it's there. And the plant does kind of the same, but then in a molecular signaling pathway because it doesn't have a brain. But it's quite a similar process so that when then the plant is attacked by a caterpillar or another herbivore, or by a pathogen, it's a lot faster in responding, and it responds also with a stronger defense.
Can you give us a comparison between farming these insects and farming livestock like cows or something else if there's a better livestock example. If I understand correctly, farming insects is much more efficient, and therefore I jump to the assumption that it's better for the environment and for our growing need for a food supply as world population increases. Is that accurate?
No, that's accurate. Yeah, so insects are about 10 times more efficient than cows in converting their feed to animal proteins. So you have to feed them, you don't need to feed them as much as you have to feed cows for the same amount of proteins. And there are other benefits in that they're, of course, very small animals, so you can keep them in crates, which you can stack, so it's a lot less land use as well. And they can feed off other waste, like potato peels, for example, from food production. So if to put it in numbers, compared to cows, they use about 80%, well, they emit 80% less greenhouse gases, and there's 90% less land needed than cows, and 99% less water. So then, compared to cows, it's really, really efficient, yeah.
The paper mentions a circular food system. That means one that produces very little waste. So the insects are fed food waste and then provide more food for humans, like what you just mentioned with them feeding on potato peels. And then with this process, their waste can further boost food production. That's one big circle. But why does this circular process matter? Why should we care about it?
Yeah, so in the current processes, we are losing a lot of valuable nutrients because we just throw them away because we don't use them yet. But when we put insects in the system, they can feed off this food waste and also agricultural waste. And then we can feed these insects again to, for example, pigs or poultry, where there are also quite some health benefits for these animals. But we can also eat them ourselves as soon as we're ready for that in the Western countries. And then the waste of these insects can again be used to promote plant growth for crops. And in this way, almost none of the nutrients are lost, and we can actually valorize all of the nutrients instead of just throwing them away.
Is there any concern that farmers or consumers won't like the idea of having insect waste as a part of the food growing process?
Yeah, so in general, people don't like to hear the word waste. And that's also why we sometimes switch to residual stream or rest stream. And actually, in a lot of different production systems, we already use waste streams, but now they are just another product from the production stream. One clear example is, of course, the manure from cows, which we use as a fertilizer, and then it's manure and not waste. But you can also think of the bones and skins from meat animals that we use to make jelly, like gelatin. And no one is thinking like, oh, gelatin is a waste product. It's just really nice and often tastes very well as well. And also the less beautiful vegetables that we get from agricultural fields that we use to make canned soups, for example. And no one thinks of those as a waste anymore. So I think with the time when it becomes more normal to use these residual streams, it's just become another product from the production chain.
I'll be honest, I've had crickets and mealworms a couple of times. It was an enjoyable experience for me. It helped that they were covered in chocolate, I think. But I'd say I'm a little adventurous when it comes to food. How do you feel about eating insects?
Yeah, I've eaten it a couple of times. Especially on events, I like to make mealworm cupcakes or grasshoppers and chocolates. And with eating these whole insects, I first have to push myself for the first bite, but then they taste actually really nice. But then we also have some products where there are just insect powder inside of them. So you have these protein bars and you don't even notice that there is an insect in there. And then you can just eat them, and it's just any other protein bar. So and I think especially for the Western countries where we're not used to eating insects in this way of invisibly putting the insects in the products makes it a lot easier to start eating them.
I really want to try more foods that include insect powder or insects included in a way you don't really notice. Well, in the Netherlands, my professor tried some cricket sausages and he said they were very good. He actually said he had to double check with the server that it really was cricket-based because he couldn't even tell. Anyway, back to using the waste as fertilizer. This waste is rich in nitrogen. I know that's commonly used in synthetic fertilizers because it contributes to plant growth, but there are a lot of concerns about nitrogen emissions from producing these synthetic fertilizers. You mentioned earlier the insects produce much less emissions. Are there similar concerns with this insect waste to fertilizer process, or could this be a potential solution to the emission concern?
So these residual streams from insect production also contain a lot of nitrogen, and that's also what makes them so beneficial for the plant growth in having these nutrients in there. But then the big difference with synthetic fertilizer is that in synthetic or artificial fertilizer, it's nitrogen that is immediately available for the plant. And then in that way, it's quite small molecules that can easily flush out of the soil. But in these residual streams, they are still packed inside of the insect skins, for example. So they have to be degraded by the microbes before they come available. And this degradation process is a bit slow. And in that way, the release of the nitrogen is also slower. So the chances of flushing out in nearby nature, for example, are lower. However, we didn't test it yet on whole fields. So I cannot say anything for certain, but it seems like to be a better option than artificial fertilizer.
So this option can boost plant growth and suppress pests and produce less emissions. We've been covering all the positives here, and it sounds very promising. But are there downsides too?
There are not clear downsides that we found yet, but then the research is quite new. So we've been doing this for 4 years now, and of course we cannot test everything yet. So a couple of things that we still want to test is how to apply it on large fields. And also for different crop species. Like now we could test 3 for Brussels sprouts, black mustard and lettuce. But of course we have many, many more crops for which it may be very beneficial that we just didn't test yet. So I think the main downside for now is that we don't know everything yet.
Since there is a lack of clear downsides at the moment, why isn't this more popular?
The insect production is relatively new, at least in the Western countries. I know from a few countries like Kenya and Colombia where they use it on a small farmer scale, so that farmers keep chickens that they feed with their own black soldier fly, and then the waste from these black soldier fly larvae they use on their fields. And there it seems to be working very, very well. But then, of course, it's a completely different scale than how we do agriculture and keep our poultry, for example, in the countries over here.
That's the last thing I wanted to discuss with you today, Els. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. And for anyone interested in learning more, the paper is linked in the episode description.
Yeah, thank you for having me here. It was a lot of fun to talk with you.
That is the end of my first in-person recording of The Food Fix. Thank you so much for tuning in. We release a new episode every Tuesday at 5 a.m. You can join me right back here for the next episode on Tuesday, July 12th, if you're interested in hearing more. Until then, you can follow us and reach out on Facebook and Twitter at MSU Food Fix to join in on the conversation. You heard Els and I discuss our thoughts on eating insects in this episode, but I'd love to hear your thoughts too. Let me know if you would eat insects, or if you already have, over on our social media. This podcast is brought to you by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism, and I've been your host, Taylor Holterman. You've been listening to The Food Fix.